Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America, The Sandman, A Wish and the Star by Deborah Magna is a tribute to children and parents of adoption. Having cousins that are adopted, Deborah tried to let children know that not always do they stay with the same parents they're born to. The moral is the end of the story explains all of this to them. And many children pray, wish, and cry to be adopted due to circumstances that led them to this path, and adults do the same to have children. She tells the story in a way children would relate in a milder setting than what their real-life situation was in the beginning. Some children come from drug-related splits, car deaths, molestation, and beatings, so for a short while they can dream up a happy Sandman that hears the wish of a child and her brother to her brother and is given a star, which has been given to a couple which also wants to adopt. So follow the stars and see how they are united, becoming a family. Deborah Magna has resided in St. Clair Shores, Michigan since 1960. The Sandman's Wish and the Star is her second children's book that has been published, her first, The Ugly Animals at the Zoo. And Deborah Magna, author of The Sandman, A Wish and the Star, a heartwarming children's story about children who wish to be adopted, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
Love to have you here and talk about this topic, which you do in such a delightful way as you present it to children. Talk about the purpose of the book, how this all came about.
Well, a lot of kids get teased that they're adopted, or that, you know, people that adopt them just adopted them because they had to have children. And that's not the case. People adopt children to give them a better home from what they came from. If your parents die or you're in a bad situation, they find somebody that will take them and love them as much as they need to be loved. So I kind of tried to make it so that the children would understand that it's not them. They deserve to be loved. They don't need to be ridiculed because they're not with the same family they were born into.
The book is the same.
Basically.
Yeah, finish that thought because that's so important. Well, yeah.
I'm sorry.
And you've done an excellent job in presenting this in the book, The Sandman, A Wish and the Star by Deborah Magna. That's Magna. Book available, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Let's talk about the idea to write the book and how that developed. Once you had the concept, you had to write it in a way that children would understand that. You do such a wonderful job with that. What was the idea that first started this?
Well, it was actually one of my cousins that's adopted, if you want to know the truth.
Ah, interesting.
I was trying to think of a title, and you know, she'd been adopted since birth. And so when it came time to give a title to the Sandman, she said, "Well, aren't you going to dedicate it to me?" I said, "Kathy, I have other cousins that are adopted." So I did this on her behalf because I did see some turmoil with her as she grew about being adopted. But in the long run, she had a very happy, loving family. And to this day, she wouldn't change it. So I just thought, well, let me write a nice story about a child that gets, the Sandman gives a star to the child, Helen, and eventually he lets the parents that want to adopt find a star. Now, neither knows where these stars came from. So when the other couple is going to adopt, she sees many stars, all kinds of stars, and she knows it's a sign. So she goes to the orphanage, and before they even go in, she notices Helen with the star on and her brother that she gave one to. And that's basically my story. And the moral is that people that adopt want to love as much as people that want to be adopted, even if you're at an older age. I just did it for children, because basically the people I knew in my family were adopted. They were right from birth. They went to the family.
Yes. You know, what are the challenges in writing something that can be somewhat complicated and you don't want to over-explain it to a child, and you do it in such a way that's welcoming to the child, they understand what you're talking about. It's a very easy-to-understand manner that you have. How challenging was that to get the book so it was proper for a child?
Yeah, it was a challenge so that children know that a Sandman and a Star is for the book, but the children still get adopted. It's hard not to, little kids will believe that they got to have a star to be adopted, and I didn't want to portray that. That was a difficult part. That's why I kind of put that, you know, they didn't need a star to be adopted. They just will find a couple that sees them and wants to be adopted to them. So that was a challenge. The other challenge is trying to make the story so it doesn't, how can I put it, make it sound that the children are like, destitute. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, yes.
They don't all come from that kind of a family. So I try, it's hard to like describe to a child why they have to go live with another parent or another family member or to be adopted. That was my challenge, is, you know, how can I make it to a child to be a happy thing with the stars?
Well, and you do that. The book is The Sandman, A Wish and the Star by Deborah Magna. Book available Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. I mentioned the other book that you've got out there, The Ugly Animals at the Zoo, and you'll find that at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the other places there as well. How long does it take to write your books from the time you get the initial thought that, okay, this is going to be the storyline until it's ready to go illustrated, ready to go to the publisher? How long does that whole process take?
Well, for me, it doesn't take long because I kind of think of the story to the end before I start writing it, because then I have things that I have to go back and change because, you know, that's not proper way to say it, or I didn't put it in a certain kind of situation.
Yes.
But basically, I've written now, I've got at least 12 books that I have already thought of and have been typed up, ready to go. The Ugly Animals at the Zoo just came to me. This one came to me because, of course, when we have family gatherings and all the adopted cousins are together, you know, I noticed there's nothing like that there. There's like no stigma of them being adopted.
Yep, yes.
They were from birth or adopted at a certain age, and they just blended with the family. So there was none of that. I wanted children to know that they can be as happy and be as loved with another family member or someone that adopts them as well as they could with their parents if in the right situation.
You do such a wonderful job with the two books that you published, and obviously others will be coming. What do you hope to accomplish with the books?
I want children to sit down and read. I want to open their mind to the arts, drama, comedy. They can be anything when they're reading a book. They can put themselves in the Sandman and say, oh, the star, this little girl got a star and she's happy now. And they can relate that someday that will be them. I wanted them to see they can be at a young age anything they put their mind to. Everyone. I have books that explain how everyone has a special gift. It's just when they tap into it. I really want kids to be able to get off the computers, get off of the phone,
yes,
sit down, read a book, and then think about it. Think about what they read or what this person was feeling or how they managed to accomplish what they did. My goal at one point before COVID was to have a young readers club to where we would read not only my books, but other books and have the children discuss it after a chapter or two. Like, what did they like about the book? How did they feel about the the characters? Did they like it? Didn't they? What would they change? And then eventually have them write their own stories. Or if they can't write, have their parents write it for them as they say it. But the books, The Sandman was fun. Except, like I said, you have to be careful so kids don't think that, you know, if they don't get a star, they're not going to be adopted. But well, I think some kids, they know that certain things, you know, or maybe they could make a star themselves and put it on and at least live with that happy feeling.
I love the idea with the book club, and hopefully you'll be able maybe to. That would be so great to get kids together and read and discuss and share their thoughts and share their emotions. There is life after technology is wonderful, but it's not everything that in life. And you've got what you're doing is making them understand that by getting them to read and then discuss that. It doesn't sound like you have any problem coming up with ideas, do you? They sort of keep coming to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've written other things. I've always written. I wrote a diary like young girls do, and junior high, high school, elementary school. And I just kept writing. I did try to actually send the poems in, and that didn't go over. And then I did send one story, but that didn't go. I found my niche was better with children than trying to write, like, you know, a love story or something that wasn't there. But the children's stories, like, I can be sitting looking out the window and see a kid doing something and go, wow, look at that kid, what he's doing, you know, and just kind of base a story on how kids' imaginations work. You know, they get a big stick and then they put it in the ground and tie something to it and they start swinging like a tetherball. Or, you know, it just amazes me when you see what they do. And I think by seeing that and reading it, they will know that they had the same idea and that they could go on to write a story of things that they do. Well, I just want them to get out of the computer for a while, sit in a nice quiet place with a pop or a chocolate milk and some cookies and read. Read
and think and tap into their emotions, which sometimes doesn't happen.
That's what I wanted to bring out with the young readers. A lot of kids don't have anybody that, you know, they can like really talk to that they enjoyed a book.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to get the kids all together. They could discuss it between themselves. And then I could find out what they feel and I can write about that.
Yes.
Their feelings on books and how they, you know, I mean, you can base a story on practically anything, but to get a child to read it and then say, gee, I want to be a dancer when I grow up, or gosh, that guy, look, he's an astronaut going to the moon, you know, they can be that, they can, and they can follow it all through their lives, read up on how to get there, how to do it, what to do for it. It's amazing what a book will tell you.
Well, you really tap into that. Is there a particular age group that you focus the books for?
Well, I'll tell you, I started out with little kids, preschool, because I had a lot of nieces and nephews being born. But I found that it's harder to do with that because they don't, their attention span is not as long as like maybe a 7-year-old or 8-year-old. So I do have 5 books. My next book will be a story book. A combination of all those stories that were for preschool children. That'll be a one book thing. The rest of my stories are more for 7 or 8 year olds and up. I have one that's for like girls. It's about going to camp and it's cute. It's a very cute movie. They encounter some boys, but they scare the bejesus out of it. And it's, you know, it's just something, and it's cute. It's cute. I mean, I love all my stories. I'm the author.
Well, yes, and there's that passion that comes through. It's not just like, okay, I got to finish this book. Let me come up with something. It's a labor of love, and maybe not even a labor. It sounds like you really enjoy this.
I do. And I love when I get an idea, and that could be anywhere, you know.
Yes.
And I try to think of something that'll make a nice story out of it, you know.
Well,
but it doesn't take me long because children, they like to hear things. You know, they like to find out how that person got there or why did they do it that way. You know, so I'm hoping one day one of these will take off. I've got so many that I want published, and I just keep.
Well, two that are there now, this book, well, we'll call attention to it. And this book is so well done. The Sandman, A Wish and the Star by Deborah Magna, M-A-G-N-A. The other book that's out there, The Ugly Animals at the Zoo. You find the books at Barnes & Noble, the usual places. And Facebook, too, as well. What A Time to Read is your Facebook page?
Yes.
And you get information on the books there as well. And then you can keep track of how Deborah's coming with these other books and follow those as well. Are there any projects lined up for your books? You mentioned like maybe a book club type of thing for kids. These are so well done as books, and it's just sort of maybe a launch pad for other activities that we get this message across as well.
That was another reason I wanted to do a Young Readers Club. My books will not be the focus. My books will be for sale, but I'll be reading other books with the children. And it's on donation. The donations and half the sales of my book, The Sandman, The Wish, and The Star, will be given to the care house in Mount Clemens for children being placed other places than their own home.
Very nice. And you mentioned being out in the public. I know you've done some craft shows and programs like that out in the public.
Yeah, I've been trying to get them going too. But boy, oh boy, sometimes, you know, you got to really, really have a good day. For me, because if it's too hot, I melt in there. People look at me like, oh, man. But it is. I do craft shows. I do winter craft shows. I've been out at Canterbury Village. I've been out to Frankenmuth, which I will be in Frankenmuth again November 20th to kind of launch the Christmas season with my books. That place is called Carlin's Book Nook.
And you mentioned
I've been with her before. She's wonderful. And she will let, if you're a new author, if you call her, she will let you. She will give you a day you can promote your book to all new young Michigan readers.
Wonderful. You mentioned Frankenmuth. I was thinking this would make a great Christmas idea, wouldn't it?
This is something that. You know, a couple of my friends from school that have bought the book donated it to their school. They've given it to a children's wing. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be for your child. You can buy it for your child to give to a birthday present for someone else, or you can give it to, as a birthday present. There's a lot of different ways that, you know, people think buying a book is just for taking it home and giving it to your child, but it's not. There's people today are asking for books for baby showers.
Well, it's interesting because the book is so much more than just a book. There's a message there that needs to be absorbed and talked about. And with the child, it's a perfect way to do that. And pick up 5 or 6 copies of the book. You've got some for your friends. You can drop some off at the library of a church group or whatever. And the book is very simple. The Sandman, A Wish and the Star by Deborah Magna. A few minutes left in the program. Are the books fiction or nonfiction, would you say?
This one's kind of true.
Yeah.
Because of the adopted cousins I have. I do have another one that's basically kind of true, but the rest of them are pure fiction. I have a series that I'm doing that is like I call it the title. Maybe one of the titles will be Over the Rainbow. And then underneath it, it says a nonsense story because it's almost like an Alice in Wonderland kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
It's different. It's way different. But it's a series about two girls that, as they grew up, played with these beanies babies. And the beanies did all the stuff, you know. And it's about the beanies take off on them, and they have to follow the beanies, and they end up in all sorts of things. So
I love the concept of that. When will your third book published. When will that be out, do you think?
Well, we haven't really started it yet. I'm in the process. I have to make sure I have all the stories together. I then have to send it to the publisher and get it okay that those are the stories we can use. And then we start. You know, I start getting my illustrator and letting her know what kind of pictures we should come up with. I get with her, we go over the story, we see where we need a picture, what would be the best focus picture for the story, and then I got to send that in, and it's got to be approved, and you know, then we play story tag.
Yes. Well, that's why I say if you follow Deborah on Facebook, and the Facebook page is A Time to Read Deborah Magna, you can keep track of when the new books are coming out. A minute or so left here in the program. I mentioned in The Sandman, A Wish and the Star, you've got the moral at the end where you do some explaining. Do you do that in all your books where at the end you've got, you set an example or you do a moral? Is that?
Oh, they all have a moral.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say, yes. So there's, you sort of ties it all together then, doesn't it?
Right, right. And they're not all about, basically they're about something any child would encounter through their life. I have one on how a mother and child handle the death. You know, I mean, but they're cute stories. It's not just, you know, cut and dry, you know, it's put in a way where a child says, oh yeah, I can think of it that way, you know, so I'm hoping they get something out of it. Well, it's always true. If I, in a book, put something and a mother will say it, they'll listen to the book. You know how that goes? If your mother says, I said jump off a bridge, would you? No, if the mother won't, they won't. But if the other mother says, oh, you can jump off the bridge, you do it.
Well, you've done such a remarkable job with this book. And the first book that Deborah's written is still out there, The Ugly Animals at the Zoo. This one is The Sandman, A Wish and the Star by Deborah Magna, M-A-G-N-A. Book available at Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Follow her on Facebook, A Time to Read, Deborah Magna. And all this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Deborah, a pleasure to have you on the program. Hopefully, as the new books come out, we can touch base with that as well. Thank you for being with us on the program today. Congratulations on the success of this book.
Thank you. And I appreciate the time you took to acknowledge the books. And I hope they go over big.
I hope they do as well. Very important books. This one, The Sandman, A Wish and the Star, available right now at Barnes & Noble, the usual places. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.